But it goes to show you that, you know, there are people out there who appreciate honesty and appreciate especially what you're doing, because it's true. There are very few people who are willing to tell the truth. And if they do, it's a drag to listen to them because it all sounds so depressing.
Yeah, well, that's why I like to have a wee bit of a cackle out of it, you know, because like I always say, man, if you lose your sense of humor about all this incredibly serious stuff, you'll just go friggin' nuts.
If you lose your sense of humor, you're already dead or you're dying pretty fast. So I agree with you. You know, in fact, are you familiar with the Serenity Prayer?
No.
Well, it's something that the Alcoholics Anonymous has always used. I don't remember exactly how it goes, but it says something about, you know, grant me the serenity to change the things that I can change, accept the things I can't change. Change the things I can change and the wisdom to know the difference. And so, I mean, this is something I always tell my clients who are, you know, invariably upset about one thing or the other. It's their health or something going on in their life, whatever it might be. Everyone has issues, right? Okay, well, look, you do what you can do and then relax. Enjoy life. Because if there's nothing you can do about something, then why worry about it? I mean, you can't – like you and I aren't going to change the temperature today. Our choices over time might have some impact on the global environment, but you can't. You wake up today and it's whatever temperature it is. There's nothing you can do about that, so it doesn't make any sense to get upset about it.
You can do simple things, you know, like wrap yourself in a blanket or whatever. But yeah,
I've heard of that. I've never tried that. absolutely, yeah, of course. You know, there are things that we can do so that we can be less uncomfortable. But ultimately, you know, we accept the things that we can't change and forget about it.
Yeah.
Do what you can do and then relax and enjoy life.
Yeah. The world is an insane place. And those who are okay with that are the crazy ones. Because
that's
in order
right.
to accept or understand insanity, one must be insane. And it's the
yes.
crazy ones who are running around who do not accept society and do not understand it that are truly sane. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with our Will. My very special guest is Lauren Lockman from the Tanglewood Wellness Center in Panama. And we'll be right back. After the short break.
Out of it, that's foreplay. You go sort out the recycling.
This frickin' business time here on the Vinnie Eastwood Show, I tells you what.
Next thing you know, we're in the bedroom.
Yeah, it's getting a little bit, getting hot in here. My very special guest is Lauren Lockman from the Tanglewood Wellness Center. You got a website there, don't you, mate?
Absolutely. A website is www.tanglewoodwellnesscenter.com.
Oh, well, fair enough. And ladies and gentlemen, you can check him out there and do a whole lot of stuff with him if you can. Final long segment today. What else have we got to talk about? Really, there's a terrible world out there, and dealing with it, I find, is sometimes somewhat of a challenge. Particularly when we're surrounded often by scum. But, you know, for some reason I have this aversion to calling people sheeple or things of this nature, because those are the things that the New World Order describes us as, you know, the chattel and the sheeple. And I find a lot of truthers will actually do this to their own kind, you know? And just be like, oh, well, you're an idiot. You're going to a family camp. And I have real aversion to it, like I say. And you personally, I'm sure you've encountered your fair share of dumbed-down slaves. How do you deal with it?
Well, it's challenging. I mean, people often come to me because someone has said, hey, you should check this out or this would help you. And they get there and they're often, you know, very much in resistance. And so it's partly about repetition. It's partly about trying to get through with common sense. And to be honest with you, I mean, what I've come to realize, and this has been a little bit hard for me, to be honest. I mean, 15 years ago, you know, I really wanted to help each person change, and I was determined to see that happen. And what I realize now is, look, all you can do is offer people a gift of this knowledge, this information. You know, whether we're talking about freedom, we're talking about the truth, we're talking about truth around health, whatever it might be, you can offer them a gift and then they're going to do what they want to do with it. And there's really not much else that you can do. You can keep offering, you can keep putting it out there. And of course, again, you know what, you've got yourself an amazing platform here because you're able to reach a lot of people who are listening, and but the people that are coming because they choose to. The people that are absolutely convinced you're a crackpot, and I'm sure there's a few of them, just as I have my people. They're either listening just to have a good time and laugh, or they're never going to listen. So that's okay. You know, it's self-selected, and everybody affects everybody around them, as I said before. So you know, you keep doing what you can do. Sometimes it's not giving up on people, but it's just understanding that you can't force somebody to see what they don't want to see. And a lot of people, I think, are in denial because they're comfortable staying where they are. The truth can seem pretty scary to people. You know, you take away everything that they thought they could rely on, and it seems pretty scary. And so some people just aren't coming along no matter how much sense you make. You know, I've noticed – I mean, we'll have guests go home. They've completed a 21-day fast. They look amazing. You know, if you look at them, you'd say, "Oh my God, what, you look incredible." People will say things like, "You're too skinny." They'll focus on one thing, because someone will have lost weight clearly, and they'll focus on that. Or they'll say, "Well, what did you do?" And someone will say, "Well, I fasted for 21 days." "Oh, well, what did you eat?" No, "I fasted. I didn't eat anything. I just drank water." And they'll say, "No, you didn't do that. That's not possible." And so they'll actually believe what they're choosing to believe or what they've been brainwashed to believe, whether it's in this arena or some other one, the one you're more active in perhaps, because that's where they're comfortable. And they're not comfortable going someplace else. You know. So again, folks, I would say for those of you listening, you got to be willing to get uncomfortable. All growth happens outside of your comfort zone. If you stay in your comfort zone, there's no growth happening. It's just never going to happen. So be willing to push the boundaries. Be willing to inquire. Be willing to look and open your mind. And you don't have to accept everything that people tell you. That's what's gotten us into the situation we're in now, people doing just that. You know, the idea is to start thinking critically. Look at the statistics. Look at the facts. What you were saying earlier, you know, both candidates are funded by exactly the same people. What does that tell you? I would say, well, there's only really one party in the United States.
Yep. It's the big banker, "We're going to rape your country and steal all your assets" party. But they, exactly. But they don't call them that because, yeah. And in fact, one election I actually do want to start up a joke political party, which is the enslave you all through banking party. You know,
it's a good idea. It's a good idea. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, again, I'm sure you probably have gotten into the income tax legislation in the United States and the Federal Reserve Bank. You've probably talked about those things plenty of times before, but. I talk to people about these things, and they just don't believe it. They don't want to believe it. The evidence is all there. It's easy to check it out.
And running back I had a conversation with a Texan two nights ago, in fact, and he's a George Bush supporter and all of this kind of stuff, saying that the naked body scanners are good for security, you know, that it was just totally brainwashed. And and I said, okay, well, where does the United States money comes from? And he goes, "Oh, well, you know, it's taken from taxes and doing all of this." And I say, "No, it comes from the Federal Reserve." And he goes, "No, it doesn't." And I said, "Okay, you just don't know then. Have you heard of the Council on Foreign Relations?" "No." "Have you heard of the Bilderberg Group?" "No." Have you know, and he just lists through all these things, doesn't know. And I say, "Okay, well, would you like me to tell you how your country is run? Because I can." And in between telling him and all of that kind of stuff, I still encounter this fledgling denial, right?
Yeah,
and with truthers, I find the most hard thing to deal with as a truther is the effect that these types of discussions and arguments have, particularly with family, because family ties can be very strong. But these conspiracies and all of this kind of stuff, they break families up something chronic a lot of the time. You know, my uncle, for example, is an engineer, watched half a dozen 9/11 documentaries made in 2006, none of which delve into the conspiracy aspect, of course. course, but they look at the elements of controlled demolition, things of this nature, and he says, no. those buildings went down because of planes. And I say, okay, well, they didn't actually go down because of planes, because they were designed to be hit by not one, but two 767s, the largest jet airliner at the time. And he says, oh, well, it was the fire then. And okay, all right, well, you like barbecuing stuff, don't you? And he goes, yep. Did the barbecue explode into atomized particles?
Right.
Yeah. No, but the planes took those buildings down. You know, it's just this ultimate denial, and more or less the anger really comes out. And this is what I really dislike about being a truther. You know, I mean, I don't have to be happy about every aspect of the lifestyle that I choose to live in, but that's the main aspect, is that when you try to really get to people and you do it out of love, they get angry with you.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And you know what? I mean, that's a big problem for a lot of people. But you know, I tell everybody, look, you got to take complete responsibility for yourself, and you can't take responsibility for anybody else. And so, if someone gets angry when you speak the truth, it's just not your problem. I mean, you know, you want to speak your truth as lovingly and gently as you're capable of doing in that moment. For me, sometimes that's more so than other times. But you want to do the best you can to be as loving and gentle as possible. But you always want to speak the truth. And if someone has a problem with that, it's not your problem. It's their problem.
And I find that if you say emotional like me, I'm a pretty emotional guy, you know, very in touch with my feminine side, as they say.
Oh, you were crying while we were on the break there just a little while ago.
I know. No. But that's the thing. It actually hurts, you know. Real pain I feel when I have this kind of denial wall up against me, you know. And I find that this is not an isolated incident, particularly when other truthers are dealing with family members, is that they experience a large degree of emotional instability as a result, a direct correlation with the truth. And back in the day, when I used to believe that, you know, doing business honestly was something you could do without being put out of business by dishonest scumbag, filth mongering bankster scumbags, you know, it actually really broke my heart to learn the truth, that the world is not as we see it. It's as a whole bunch of banking scumbags have chosen to make it.
Yep. Yeah. True. It's true. And it's, you know, it's a challenging thing, not just for you, but for a lot of people. In fact, you know, again, I had a very similar kind of response, and it's not that it's not painful to me now. It's a little bit less painful, but I have a good friend who is an amazing psychologist, and she says the most difficult thing that anybody ever experiences is the helplessness you feel when you're, you know, you're seeing people doing things, believing things, thinking things, whatever, that.
Well, sorry, we seem to have. We seem to have lost him there.
Who's actually going on?
Oh, there we go. Sorry, we missed what you said just then. Could you start again?
Sure. I was talking about how when, first of all, it's a common experience, I think, for us to feel pain, because I have a friend who's an amazing psychologist, and she says that one of the two most painful things, most difficult things for anybody to experience, is the helplessness we feel when we see somebody that we care about doing something, believing something, you know, whatever it is, that you know is detrimental to them. And that's a painful thing, because you want to help, you want to see them do better, but there's really nothing you can do about it.
It's absolutely true. And the whole aspect of there's nothing you can do about it, I again have an aversion to that, because I believe there's always something you can do. But doing something and solving the entire problem is two very different things. And I find that people try, especially young truthers, get away on themselves, and they think, you know, I'm going to change the world. I'm going to get the truth out there. I'm going to do the street actions. I'm going to pass out these flyers, and the whole world's going to know 9/11 was an inside job. And they they realized relatively soon that it is not possible to tell the world that 9/11 is an inside job all on your own. And it is and it is not your individual actions by themselves that matter quite so much. It is the collective actions of all of the different truthers. And this is what I find really cool about hanging with truthers and having a lot of them as my good friends, because they are the coolest people you will ever meet.
Yeah.
You know? Because it's just no BS with them, and they have these things that I believe haven't existed since the 50s. Honor, respect, dignity.
Yeah.
You know, and it's pouring out of them, you know, it's great. But at the same time, they're people who are, incredibly internally conflicted because of just the nature of the information, I guess.
Well, sure. The information you're talking about creates huge conflicts for people, because again, when you're, you know, most people don't want to have internal conflict, but to believe the truth puts people in a very painful place, because it goes against everything they've always believed.
But belief, and this is my personal belief, is that everything I know to be true is in fact wrong. All right. so that way I'm operating under a cover my ass dragnet kind of scenario, where if somebody comes up with new information which conflicts with mine, provided it checks out, I will change my entire life on a dime, pretty much. Because, you know, I guess maybe I've learned to do that as a coping mechanism, because nobody's got a monopoly on the truth. Anybody who thinks that they know all the truth, the whole truth, and whatever aspect it is, just can't be right 100% of the time.
You're absolutely right.
A god.
absolutely true. Yeah. And you know, and what you said makes a lot of sense. But you said something that was really key, critical to the conversation, because you said, "If it checks out." See, what a lot of people do is they hear something that sounds radical, and then they jump on it, but they haven't checked it out, and a lot of it is nonsense. So it's important to check things out. It's important to, at the very least, and this is challenging for a lot of people. But you know, I was talking with a friend just last night before last. And I was telling her, listen, just listen to your intuition. She's like, well, I don't know if I trust that. You know, the thing is, we've become divorced from it, but I believe everyone's born with perfect intuition. And if we hear something, if we really check it out and are willing to trust our own inner guidance, we'll almost always be completely accurate, whether something's true or not true. But, you know, so for most people, that's not going to be enough, because they're not really in touch with that well enough to use that as the only guide. So do a little homework. Check it out. See what's out there. Keep listening to the show. If you're new to the show, keep listening, because there's great information here. And when Vinny says something that you're going, well, that's hard to believe, check it out. See what's out there. There's great material on 9/11, for instance. You know, the engineers who talk about the fact that it would be impossible for the steel to melt in a fire created by airline fuel. It couldn't happen. Steel melted in those buildings. There was something else going on. That something else was bombs that had been previously placed there. Anyway, the facts are overwhelming, but so many people would just rather not look at them because they're painful. You know, it's difficult for people. It takes them out of their comfort zone. It makes them deal with a reality that's too difficult for them to handle.
You know, and it's like James Burns from the fabulous show that's on previous to this, Freedom Files. He calls those people jellyfish, okay, because they're spineless and they kind of float on the currents of whatever's going, you know, and they're almost irrelevant to the workings of the world. And this is what I find is the difference. And I don't want to sound elitist here, but some people do something about it, and most people will not. I mean, take the American Revolution, for example. According to Doc Bean, and I'm sure he's backed up his research here, in the Revolutionary War, 30% of people opposed the king, so not a majority by any means, and only 3% fought in the Revolutionary War. So it is indeed quite rational to assume, even, that small amounts of people who are determined in their cause can make enormous amounts of difference. And those people who choose to not accept that fact are the ones who have believed the propaganda that's been pumped out to them, that you are insignificant, you are not rich, you are not smart, you can't figure things out for yourself. And these are the things that social Darwinists absolutely love, because it allows them to control people like the average person controls a car.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's a good analogy, too, because most people are about as conscious as their car. But, you know, the fact is that all change that's ever occurred was initiated by one person or by a small group of people, and that a small group of people can always – I mean, that's the only mechanism that's going to change anything. It's certainly never going to happen by popular vote. It's never going to happen by majority. The majority, I told you I had a background in finance. And the first there's a theory of investing called contrarian investing. And it says just do the opposite of what everybody else is doing. Because the fact is the herd is usually wrong. So if you do what you know the opposite of what everyone else is doing, you'll usually come out ahead. And that holds true in almost any human endeavor because of the fact that by the time most people glob onto something, if it was ever true, it's not true anymore. You know, if it was ever the right action, it's no longer the right action because they're just too slow. But a lot of what people are believing was never true. It was always just brainwashing. And so, you know, again, folks, take responsibility. Check the stuff out. It's amazing. And, you know, I want to bring it back around. I'm not sure. It looks like your show is not on for too much longer, I think, right?
About 6 minutes or so.
Okay, so I want to get a last plug in here to remind people, because it's so easy for them to be complacent with regard to their health. But the fact is, the average person my age, I'll be 50 before long, the average person at 50 in the U.S. is taking 3 prescription medications every day. And if you're only taking 1 or 2, doesn't mean you're doing all that much better. I mean, you know, the fact is that people are suppressing their symptoms and getting sicker and sicker every day. In fact, I'd like to share with you a couple statistics, because there was a book published probably 15 years ago called Your Body's Many Cries for Water. And it was written by an MD in the Washington, D.C. area who lobbied the National Institutes of Health for years because he'd had decades worth of research treating people with all kinds of diseases and getting them well by getting them rehydrated. Now, he was using a typical medical approach of treating the symptom only. He wasn't asking, why are people dehydrated? He had people drinking tons of water and consuming salt with their water. And salt is toxic to the body. But what that does is it forces the body to retain water, and osmotic pressure forces some of that water into the cells. So you do get people better hydrated that way. And he saw amazing things happen. It's not a good long-term strategy, and it's not the best way to do it. You can get people hydrated by getting their bodies clean and giving them an ideal diet. But, you know, it's an interesting thing, Vinny, because the average person coming into my center, and as you can imagine, you know, the people who are listening right now while they're sitting in the McDonald's parking lot on their car radio, these people are probably – they're not coming down to the Tanglewood Wellness Center. The people that show up at my center are people who are already interested in their health. They're already trying to make healthy choices, and many of them drink lots of water. Well, over the last 4 years or so, we measure every incoming client's level of hydration as well as their percentage of body fat. And, you know, we check all their vital signs every day, but once a week we check these things. The average person coming in comes in at 51.9% water, 51.9% hydration. Human body should be 75% hydration. So the average person is walking around roughly one-third low. And virtually everything we think of as aging is almost completely attributable to long-term chronic dehydration. This is why our eyesight goes. This is why we shrink. This is why our skin gets wrinkled and loses elasticity, becomes thin. This is why we stop thinking clearly. All these things are directly related to long-term chronic dehydration. And what I found over the last 15 years is there is a surefire way to increase anybody's level of hydration. Get the body clean. Get all the toxins out of the body. Get old, hardened wastes out of the digestive tract. And eat properly. And what happens is hydration goes up, and the average – back when we were doing the 14-week internship program, we would see people go from 52, just under 52%, to just over 73% hydration in 4 months' time. Anybody can accomplish it if they know what to do. Let me just say again, you know, as my thank you for listening and opening your mind and being on this show tonight, send us an email. Send an email to info@tanglewoodwellnesscenter.com, and I'll be happy to send you a free ebook called Fasting, Nature's Fountain of Youth. And I absolutely promise you, if you're willing to do what you need to do, you can completely change your level of health and vitality. If you think you're doing okay, I just got to tell you, most people have no way to gauge it because they don't know what's possible. At almost 50, I have more energy, more strength, more vitality than I did when I was 18 years old. And I wear the same size pants. You know, most people think that as you get older, you get bigger. There's no reason for that. Your skeleton hasn't changed. Why should you be any bigger? So you can do exactly the same thing. You never have to worry about your weight. You never have to think about it or focus on it. If you make the best choices, it takes care of itself. Okay, you exercise not to try to manage weight, which is what most people do, but because you have to build a strong body. You have to create proper body composition for your body to work well. But once you get there, it's easy to maintain it. Just like animals in nature who don't exercise, they don't work out. They just live their active lives and they stay strong and flexible. And, you know, again, it's hard for people to imagine, but I'm telling you, anybody that wants to, that's willing to do what they need to do, and there's going to be some time and some investment to make, but it's a one-time thing. And what you can do is you can create a level of health and vitality you never, ever thought was possible before. And when you do that, your mind works more clearly than it has for a long time. You're going to start to see things. You're going to start to understand how things work. And you're going to be amazed at the shifts. So, folks, if you're experiencing headaches or stomach aches or back problems or any unpleasant conditions whatsoever, you don't have to. I haven't been sick a single day in over 23 years. And there's no reason anybody can't experience exactly the same thing.
And that's why they call it your health, because it's your responsibility, not exactly somebody else's. I'd like to thank you very much, Lauren Lockman, for coming on the show today. And hopefully you'll come back on in future.
I'd be happy to, Vinny. It's been a pleasure.
All right, there he goes, Lauren Lockwood from the Tanglewood Wellness Center. If you want his free ebook on what you can do with fasting, email him at info@tanglewoodwellnesscenter.com. That's center, E-C-E-N-T-E-R, not R-E, as we spell here in New Zealand. Thank you, folks, for listening to another fabulous edition of the Vinny Eastwood Show. We'll be back tomorrow, quite likely, unless, of course, the Department of Homeland Security decides to shut us down. See you, folks.